A Sicilian Romance by Anne Radcliffe. Chapter 1. On the northern shore of Sicily are still to be seen the magnificent remains of a castle which formerly belonged to the noble house of Mazzini. It stands in the center of a small bay and upon a gentle acclivity which, on one side, slopes towards the sea, and on the other rises into an eminence crowned by dark woods. The situation is admirably beautiful and picturesque, and the ruins have an air of ancient grandeur, which, contrasted with the present solitude of the scene, impresses the traveler with awe and curiosity. During my travels abroad, I visited this spot, as I walked over the loose fragments of stone, which lay scattered through the immense area of the fabric, and surveyed the sublimity and grandeur of the ruins, I recurred by a natural association of ideas to the times when these walls stood proudly in their original splendor, when the halls were the scenes of hospitality and festive magnificence, and when they resounded with the voices of those whom death had long since swept from the earth. Thus, said I, shall the present generation, he who now sinks in misery, and he who now swims in pleasure, alike pass away and be forgotten. My heart swelled with the reflection, and as I turned from the scene with a sigh, I fixed my eyes upon a friar, whose venerable figure, gently bending towards the earth, formed no uninteresting object in the picture. He observed my emotion, and as my eye met his, shook his head and pointed to the ruin. "These walls," said he, "were once the seat of luxury and vice. They exhibited a singular instance of the retribution of heaven, and were from that period forsaken and abandoned to decay." His words excited my curiosity, and I inquired further concerning their meaning. "A solemn history belongs to this castle," said he, "which is too long and intricate for me to relate. It is, however, contained in a manuscript in our library, of which I could perhaps procure you a sight. A brother of our order, a descendant of the noble house of Mazzini, collected and recorded the most striking incidents relating to his family, and the history thus formed he left as a legacy to our convent. If you please, we will walk thither." I accompanied him to the convent, and the friar introduced me to his superior, a man of an intelligent mind and benevolent heart, with whom I passed some hours in interesting conversation. I believe my sentiments pleased him, for by his indulgence I was permitted to take abstracts of the history before me, which, with some further particulars obtained in conversation with the abbate, I have arranged in the following pages. Chapter 1. Towards the close of the 16th century, this castle was in the possession of Ferdinand, 5th Marquis of Mazzini, and was, for some years, the principal residence of his family. He was a man of a voluptuous and imperious character. To his first wife he married Louisa Bernini, second daughter of the Count della Salario, a lady yet more distinguished for the sweetness of her manners and the gentleness of her disposition than for her beauty. She brought the Marquis one son and two daughters, who lost their amiable mother in early childhood. The arrogant and impetuous character of the Marquis operated powerfully upon the mild and susceptible nature of his lady, and it was by many persons believed that his unkindness and neglect put a period to his life. However this might be, he soon afterwards married Maria del Valorno, a young lady eminently beautiful, but of a character very opposite to that of her predecessor. She was a woman of infinite art, devoted to pleasure, and of an unconquerable spirit. The Marquis, whose heart was dead to paternal tenderness, and whose present lady was too volatile to attend to domestic concerns, committed the education of his daughters to the care of a lady, completely qualified for the undertaking, and who was distantly related to the late Marchioness. He quitted Mazzini soon after his second marriage for the gaieties and splendor of Naples, whither his son accompanied him. Though naturally of a haughty and overbearing disposition, he was governed by his wife. His passions were vehement, and she had the address to bend them to her own purpose, and so well to conceal her influence.